Back with you on The Takeaway, I'm Cindy Rodriguez. The legal marijuana industry is popular and it's growing. 60% of Americans live in states with some form of legal cannabis use and sales. And in 2017, the industry across North America reached $92 billion. That's $92 billion for potential investors to tap into.
I think on Wall Street is pretty much the introduction to all industries, is how I'd like to say it.
Gia Moron spent more than a decade working for Goldman Sachs. Like any other industry she follows, she recognized the potential for growth in cannabis a few years ago.
So when I began seeing the coverage of the cannabis industry on CNBC, on Bloomberg, the flag went up in my head. I said, oh, I've got to start paying attention to this.
But Moron wanted to make space for a new type of leadership in this field. She joined Women Grow, an organization that cultivates female leadership in the cannabis industry, and says her mission now is to get women, and in particular women of color, to profit off this growing market.
Women Grow connects, educates, empowers, and inspires what we like to say is the next generation of cannabis leaders. I was one of those people back in 2015 that I went to my first meeting. I just started meeting people, telling them what I did. I had no idea what I wanted to do in the industry. And it was at that meeting here in New York, actually not far on Canal Street here in New York City, that I learned that what I was currently doing in PR that I could actually do in cannabis. And, you know, everything made sense at that point. I realized I didn't have to grow. I didn't have to open a dispensary. Just do what I'm doing, but in this industry.
And so just to be clear, it's not just women that you're trying to bring into the industry. It's Black and brown women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the idea is all women, right? And I think that is often the misconception that, one, Women Grow's inclusive. We do have men that attend our meetings.
You do.
We do. We have a good number of men that attend our meetings. But me, as a woman of color, for me, that was also important, that I recognized that not only was I seeing white men in the forefront, I was also seeing a lot of white women in the forefront. And listen, some of my best mentors have been white males and females, but there's nothing like having a mentor or leadership that looks like yourself, that's a reflection of you.
But I'm wondering, is there a social justice component to this too? Because as we know, Black and brown people have been disproportionately affected by the criminalization of marijuana. And so now you have it being legal. And as you were saying, the people that are most involved and represented tend to be white men and women.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's interesting how our paths really help us to where we're going. So I've often worked in industries where I was often the minority, right? Prior to going to Wall Street, I worked in television. I worked in a corporate entity in a television company where there weren't very many people of color there either. Wall Street, technology, they've all had the same experiences of not having very many. But now here you have the cannabis industry. The social justice part of it is that many Black and brown people have gone to jail for what is now becoming legal across the country. So it's even more so important that we make these opportunities available to the communities that have been most impacted by this. We see white male and white women who are flourishing within the space. Meanwhile, there's so many Black and brown people who are behind bars and still, right? Or not even allowed to participate in this growing industry. And that's pun intended, right? But it's unfair and we've got to make that right.
So I'm interested in who's showing up to these monthly meetings, you said. Tell me about the women.
Oh, my God, they're incredible. I mean, and I say that, I get goosebumps when I think about it. I'd say that the faces have changed since joining, since becoming a part of the team. But I think that that's for many reasons. I think that the media attention on the industry is really helping to draw the awareness of this. I think that the more media covers this industry, people are beginning to learn more about it. I think the narrative is changing. The mind shift is changing. And that also includes Black and brown people. Because of what has happened in our communities, oftentimes we're reluctant to even look at or consider the opportunities. So when I am meeting people who look like myself in the business world, they're now less concerned about cannabis being on their resume because will they get another job if this shows up? And the answer is there's so many people like all of us in this space. So our meetings are attracting attorneys, accountants, marketing specialists, medical. The amount of people that I meet who are nurses and doctors who are now exploring opportunities, it's phenomenal. And I love it because it's attracting everyone from young and old.
Is it attracting anyone that was involved in the industry as
in the black market?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that's also what I feel like is interesting. I've actually met people who operated in the black market, and the growth and the expansion of this industry is even eye-opening to them. They're seeing opportunities that they were not seeing in the black market in terms of the ancillary services, right? So it's no longer just the product and a package, right? It's now the marketing behind it. When you ask who's coming to these meetings, these are people with marketing backgrounds, graphic design, PR, public relations. So they're now seeing a greater opportunity. Technology. I mean, the wealth of opportunities in this space are probably far greater than any of us would have even imagined in starting out. So those that are transitioning from black market into the legal market are also looking at how they can transition their skill set into this space.
And so what is the biggest obstacle? Is it getting investment money?
Well, I think it depends on which part of the sectors that you're interested in. If you're looking at, you know, becoming a cultivator or owning a dispensary, well, there are far more steps that are involved when you've got to get a license, right? And that requires a whole lot of capital. It also requires getting approved for one of the licenses, which is what we're seeing in New Jersey right now. The deadline for the applications for New Jersey is this week, actually, August 31st, I believe. And so you're seeing a lot of people scrambling to get their applications in. But in order for them to have gotten to that point, they also had to have millions of dollars already available to them to support this business. On the flip side, you've got the ancillary services, businesses that support, right, the core of our business. And
like, can you give me some examples?
So just as I was saying earlier, so for attorneys that are now expanding their practices to now cover the cannabis industry, looking at compliance, looking at regulation, looking at the various entities within, because it is rather complex right now. And the regulations vary from state to state. So people are now, especially on the legal side, are having to understand what those regulations are for state to state because their clients may have businesses, you know, across the country.
Gia, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Gia Moron is the Executive Vice President of Women Grow.